Happy New Year, everybody. It's 2022, but it's also the Vince Boys podcast. I'm Logan, and joined in front of me is Tanner. Hello, Tanner.
Hello.
All right. And also in front of me is Matt. What's up, Matt?
New year, same boys, same binging.
Oh, yeah. Matt, I haven't seen you since last year.
Seen you in a whole year.
Yeah. I'm not even doing it just for the funnies. I haven't seen you since last year, guy.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, I know. I know. There's worse things to be, though.
That's fair.
Is there?
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm just kidding.
Aggressive.
There's worse things to be, like a guy who doesn't have Army of the Dead in their top 10 movies of the year list.
Well, I think we majority is going to win over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. More on that later. But guys, this is the Bitch Boys.
I have it in one list.
Love it. Can't wait to find out which one that is. But guys, this is the Binge Boys. This is 2022. Happy New Year. Hope everybody had a nice, happy, and safe New Year. I for one gave one of my worst performances of my adult career on Friday evening in terms of didn't really plan for not having the whole dinner, but also drank a six-pack thing. And your boy did not see the ball drop. In fact, your boy saw nothing but black after about 11 p.m.
Logan, how come whenever you black out, it is like topic one right off the bat?
Because I just want to get out in front of it because, you know, I don't like blacking out. I don't think anybody does, but man, it's so bad. That, you know, I started out the new year and I was like, I'm going to do dry January. Hell, I might even do dry February. I'm just, your boy's just down bad.
Dang.
How'd you feel Saturday morning?
Not great. It was one of those all day hangovers. No matter, like, even after a nice lunch, I still kind of felt it, you know. Usually after that first big meal of the day, you're like, sure, okay, it should go away. Nah, it was with me till I went to bed.
Well, let's break down this lunch. Maybe I can find your problem.
Ooh, okay.
What'd you eat, McDonald's?
No.
Wendy's.
Although Culver's, dude, talk about a tweet that went micro-vi and I didn't expect it to. I mean, I think I got 15 likes on it, which might be the most likes I've ever gotten on a tweet, but as I'm seeing the likes come through, I'm like, yo, I was just trying to state a fact. I wasn't even trying to like get attention from it. Like, Tanner, you don't have a Twitter, but I tweeted last week that Culver's might have the best fast food burger.
It's true.
And a lot of people agree with me.
Where's the lie, though?
Yeah, big shouts to me. But no, so it's a New Year's tradition of Catherine and I, and it wasn't even a tradition that we meant to start. We just did it 3 years ago and said, you know what, let's just do this next year. And then we did it this year too. We went to lunch at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay.
Hoorah.
And it's nice because New Year's Day, we went like an early lunch. It's dead inside. The food came wicked fast. And it soaked up my hangover for the most part. Like, I left there feeling 80% better, but there was still that little bit of, you know, if you turn your head too fast, you kind of feel a little bit of dizziness. That stayed with me all the way until I woke up Sunday.
All right.
So spent Saturday trying to
just battle the demons. I think Buffalo Wild Wings is like a step in the right direction, but I think like there's just beer flowing all around that place. Like you're just asking for just like to catch a wrong whiff of the wrong thing, just be like exactly where you didn't want to be on a hungover lunch.
True.
I should have had like a salad or something.
Maybe could have done it, but you know, first year or first meal of the new year, I was like, I got to do this right and go to B-Dubs. But no, I mean, Just a tradition that we didn't mean to make a tradition, but we did it through a few years ago. And then last year on New Year's Day, Catherine's like, let's just run it back. And this year there was no hesitation. It was like, we're going to Buffalo Wild Wings on New Year's Day and we'll probably just keep doing that for a while.
Swag.
Yeah.
Hold on. Did you just drink a six pack?
Yeah. I mean, but the six pack was what those like vodka waters and they're like 9% alcohol each. And we were just playing poker. So your boy was just slamming them. Playing poker with mom and dad.
Oh, with your parents.
I was with my parents and I got figgities fucked up.
And then they took all your money. Dang.
Yeah. You hate to see it. It was just an all time down bad night for me. And that Catherine had to take care of me at my parents' house. Just a not great performance from your boy. But you know what? There's been worse times. I'll say that.
Yeah. Come in hot in 2022. Oh, yeah. And the best way to do that is by just putting out a fire episode. So let's get this shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. We don't want today's episode to run on. So I'm going to quickly run through those programming notes and basically just say, hey, tell a friend about the show. It's the new year. Give them a new pod to listen to. And when you tell them to listen, if they're like, yeah, I'll give them a shot, also be like, oh, and also follow them on Instagram and Twitter. It's the best way to kind of see what they're talking about, kind of the companion to the show, if you will. And that's it. That's all I want. And I guess you could go leave a rating and review on iTunes and Spotify, but I did a YouTube deep dive the other night and I found out that ratings don't actually help boost your show on those platforms. They're just simply there to show people what people think. And while I think it's safe for all of us to say that we still like the feedback, just go leave a review if you want. But my number one thing is just tell somebody. It's probably all our number one, all of our things. Just go tell somebody, not just me here. So I want to go straight into the headlines. There's only a few. I want to quickly note that there is so much happening in terms of me and Matt got our own movies to review this week. We got to talk about Boba Fett, and then we're going to give two lists. This is the first episode of the month, but we're not going to do a what have we been binging. I'm simply going to throw that up on Instagram on Wednesday. So if you're curious, you'll see what we're watching right now in our own times, aside from the, you know, regularly scheduled programming. But just wanted you to be aware that, like, if you're like, hey, they didn't do it this time, there's just so much to talk about. And what are we binging is a segment that we kind of just throw at the end of the first episode of the month anyways. And sometimes it's a really, really short segment. So it's on IG this time. We'll see you back in February. But first off, Friday, the very unfortunate passing Betty White, America's sweetheart, the last of the Golden Girls, famous comedian and actress. Betty White has passed away, 99 years old. She passed away peacefully at home Friday afternoon. It's one of those things that I saw trending and I was like, that's BS, because we see Betty White trending every 2-3 months. And this time it was real and super sad.
Also, rest in peace, John Madden.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Another surprise passing there, but all in 2020.
Two daggers, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize John Dagger was that old.
John Madden.
John Dagger. John Madden. R.I.P. Sorry for the disrespect, but I didn't realize he was that old.
He's like what, 76?
I think 85. Yeah, he died at 85.
Wow.
I played a lot of his video games.
Yeah, he was a head coach for, you know, 9 years, and that ended in 78, so that's even still, you know, 15 years before the first Madden video game, so.
Great commentator, too.
Yeah, really good.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Betty White.
Absolutely crazy.
Absolute icon. I don't often get too heated about things like this, but hey, People Magazine, maybe don't put out a Betty White makes it to 100 issue when she actually hasn't made it to 100. It's not your fault, but
fucking media,
just don't
man.
Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of an absolute waste. In fact, like when she died at 99, the headline said 99, and I said, I'm pretty sure she's 100.
Because you saw the
People because magazine. Publications everywhere were like, Betty White's going to see 100. Betty White's going to see 100. Well, hey, when someone's 99, maybe don't publish articles like that. because at literally any moment they could just drop, and it's not cool.
You want to hear something else cheap today that
the
news did to me? So they can get some clicks. I got a notification that said Betty White's cause of death revealed. And I'm like, oh shit, was it something different? And it just says natural causes right at the top. And I'm like, you fuckers, you fuckers just got my damn click for nothing.
Yeah. Well,
we all know.
Also, that I something that I found out, maybe I was sleeping under a rock that I didn't know this. But if you didn't know this, buckle up. For celebrities that are up there in age, do you ever think of like how like, oh, Netflix just released, which this is true, Netflix released a documentary about Betty White on Friday, the day of her death. And it's like, huh? But I found out from a coworker that's, I think, uncle worked in the entertainment media. For celebrities that are like 75 plus, they have content just ready for them to die so that they can, the day of their death or the weekend of their death, drop something on a streaming service to get people to watch, which is
fucked up.
You get it, but it's still fucked up.
Yeah, I heard about this from tangentially related micro niche celebrity of the show, Micah Weiner, when he worked in TV news. He said that they have a obituary for Willie Nelson ready to go at every local news station in Texas at the drop of a cowboy hat.
Yeah, that's it sucks, but you shouldn't make we can't make excuses for him because it sucks. That's it's almost like they don't care, but they're running a business, but it still sucks. It's stupid, it's shitty,
seems insensitive.
Exactly, seems very insensitive. Like I doubt Betty White's family's gonna watch the Betty White documentary the day she died. Like I'll speak for myself and say that I didn't.
I will not. I want to learn about her, but I'm not supporting that.
No, not at all. And then this is the headline that I really wanted to spend just a moment on because it is a big deal. So Tanner, buckle up because I know you're not on Twitter and I see a lot of stuff like this on Twitter. And Matt, I'm not sure if you heard this yet, but the Flash movie that we're going to see this fall is going to most likely... And the people that have leaked this information are the same people who early on leaked information about No Way Home. So they have a good track record so far. It says the Flash may soft reboot the DC universe and erase everything that Zack Snyder has done.
That's awesome.
Oh, no. Don't. Oh,
wait. Hold on. Oh, yeah. I forgot that Matt is not a fan. So it says that continuity in the DC extended universe is very loose the past few years with a lot of factors in the air, new Batmans, new Supermans, the Arrow shows, all of the DC projects that aren't in the same timeline. It gets people confused. Marvel has somehow been able to pull it off and loop everything together, but DC has been all over the place. So there is a rough cut of The Flash that finished filming in October that has been screened to certain people in the industry. And My Time to Shine, who is a Twitter user, which is just a great handle for this. But on Friday, he tweeted, New Year's Day, so Saturday, he said, I usually don't tweet about DC stuff. However, I have a friend who has seen The Flash, and the movie will erase every movie that Snyder has either directed or had any part of. Man of Steel, Jesus, Batman versus Superman, Justice League, even his own cut of Justice League, and even bits and pieces of Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and any other DC extended universe thing. Essentially erased from continuity, like the movies never even were released. Affleck and Cavill are both erased.
What the fuck?
It says that the Flash would be erasing Affleck and Cavill from the DC EU timeline entirely, with the return of Michael Keaton as their new Bruce Wayne. Of course, it's uncertain how the film will accomplish this with the multiverse. Multiverse being Marvel's fan service / we're going to take the story in a new direction and this feels earned thing. Whereas DC is like, hey, we're going to take advantage of the multiverse and pretend like half of our movies didn't ever exist. So it says that Cavill is very upset about these rumors and says that he never really got his dues to finish off the character, that he loved playing the character and that he wants another opportunity. Batfleck has always been kind of on the fence. Is he in? Is he out? We don't know. But yeah, this would essentially erase everything that Zack Snyder has done to push the series in a new direction, which also would include a couple appearances of Michael Keaton's Batman, essentially to help whatchamacallit, and we did a story about this last week, help train Batgirl, whose movie comes out on HBO Max this year, and she would be the DCEU's main Batman, Bat character, would be Batwoman. Same thing with Superman. Superman will be gone, and their Supergirl from the TV shows would be their main Superman character. So they would go forward with a female Batman, a female, Batwoman, Superwoman, and other characters like Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and The Flash would just be there. Essentially just, I went in depth on this, and it would literally show scenes from those Zack Snyder movies of The Flash going back in time and warning everybody or moving somebody or essentially making it so the events of any of those movies didn't exist. So
y'all ever see DC just Thanos snap themselves on this one?
Which, you know, I know the Zack Snyder stuff isn't very well rested with a lot of people, but it seems odd that they're like using a movie to retcon their other movies. Like, why can't they just have like the DC multiverse like ongoing and just say like, all right, we're done with Batman and Superman played by these actors. Let's get new guys in here. I don't know. Personally, I don't think it makes sense.
Marvel did.
Yeah.
And Marvel is printing money.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. That's just the big thing that's been circulating TikTok and whatever and Twitter and all the other stuff. So
I think they're fucking up just like they have been.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting anything crazy from this movie. I think it's just gonna be fun to watch if it's, you know, Michael Keaton, our boy, he's back.
Exactly. Watch him be in it for like 3 minutes.
Oh shit. I have breaking news.
Oh.
And is this true? Oh man, this is true, bro. Okay. It looks like the few Morbius fans have to wait a bit longer for the film's release. Sony has pushed the movie back due to the concerns of the Omicron variant.
Oh my God, I'm gonna shoot somebody.
The film is now scheduled to release April 1st. Wow. That's breaking news. Very cool. Very cool. Can't wait for all of our movies to get pushed back. Can't wait. What a great start to the year. First Betty White and now Morbius.
I don't know. I don't think those are on the same level. But
I was
okay.
Just going to say that. They're not on the same level. You're not wrong. But yeah, so that's where we're at. We'll see if more comes to light on that. But and that's just one source. That was the source that I was just looking at. So I don't even know if that's real life. I'll fact check that here on Twitter in a second. But okay, so yeah, this is real life. although the Twitter account exclusively in movie theaters April 1st. That sucks, but
I'm so,
you know,
sick of this shit.
Whatever. That just makes January even more boring. that's okay. We got a lot of good TV coming out this month with Euphoria and Ozark and some other good stuff. So whatever. So main topics, guys. Let's get into it. The Book of Boba Fett, episode 1, released on Disney Plus over the weekend on their Wednesday premiere day. Matt, where does the Book of Boba Fett sit with you on its premiere?
So I did not have a chance to catch this. And here's my reason.
Okay.
I forgot it came out.
Okay.
And so I also hadn't watched The Mandalorian. I know it's not probably related, however,
oh, yeah,
directly. So I figure there will be some tie-in at some point. So I didn't want to spoiled that, but I'm working my way towards getting both watched. So I'm sorry to let you down on that one.
No, it's all good. I forgot
it came out too, dude.
I also, yeah, want to say that. And just be kind of the marketing for The Mandalorian was super heavy, whereas I feel like this show just kind of like quietly came out.
I mean, I feel like Boba Fett is like literally the, like, I don't know. He's the least marketable character just given his like actual in movie presence. It's just kind of lore around him based on what people have not like have speculated about, like have sort of taken his story on like outside the movies is where a lot of the fandom for him comes. So it doesn't surprise me that there's sort of less of a push for this pretty like not niche, but like underdeveloped character versus a brand new one that has the cutest sidekick of all time that you can, you know, push really hard.
It's true. Yeah, that's a
like,
good point.
And plus for The Mandalorian, I wasn't even like, I was kind of like, oh, you know, what is this going to be like? And then the first episode came out and I was like, holy sheep shit. Logan, I remember texting you right away.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. Yo, this show is going to be something special.
And it sure is.
Whereas before I get your take, Tanner, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it was a bad premiere, but it was just kind of meh. Like, okay.
I
love
that.
Did you
watch it Saturday morning?
Huh?
Did you watch it on Saturday?
No, I watched it on Wednesday when it came out. Oh, good. But, good. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, cool to see Boba Fett. Cool to see doing his thing. But I think for me personally, in those movies in the original trilogy where Boba Fett makes his appearances, part of what makes him so cool is like you never see his face. You don't know anything about him. He's just the mystery guy in the back. And in the show, you know, you're full-blown helmet off, talking to him like he's a person. Like, it's taking away, for me personally, some of that mystery. And so far, I'm just, you know, I'm not hooked, but I am going to obviously keep going. But, and also, and not to its fault, because if they did it, it would be ripping off The Mandalorian, the thing that came before it. But, like, I think the thing that really hooked people on The Mandalorian was Baby Yoda and the mystery behind that character too. And Baby Yoda was teased at the end of the first episode of The Mandalorian. And this show now doesn't have a crazy cliffhanger at the end of the first episode. It just kind of like ends and you're just like, okay, I guess I'll watch this next week because it's Star Wars and it's Boba Fett and... Yeah, I mean, that's just personally where I landed. I'm not, like, against it. I didn't hate it. It was cool. Same quality as The Mandalorian. Jon Favreau knows Star Wars, man. He just – you can clearly tell he's just a fan that gets to do it for his job every day that just loves it.
Dude, him in Star Wars, he's so money, he doesn't even know it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So that's where I'm at. I'm cool with it. I'm intrigued, but that's it. It's Tanner – I know you disagree.
I do. I think it's I think it's pretty awesome. I don't want to get into it, but there's just a lot of things that you're just like, holy shit.
Get
like,
into
that's
it.
How? No, I can't.
Well, you can, but
just do spoilers. It.
Just do it.
Well, like you find out how he gets out of the pit and how he does it. Like that's badass. The whole entire part of it. And the story's still not done. That's what I'm interested in for the next one, you know?
Yeah. I liked that too. I just that to me personally was probably the strongest aspect of it is the fact that you got to see how Boba Fett escaped the thing that he seemingly dies in at the end of or at the beginning of Return of the Jedi.
But I do see your point. The whole great part of The Mandalorian was the mystery behind what he looked like who he was, like because he kept his helmet on the whole time. And that brought much more mystery. I see what you mean.
Yeah, so
now I'm kind of sad that I'm starting to see what you mean.
Well, I mean, like no, again, it's not bad. It's just no. You know, I'm just not as hooked as I was before.
True. Like, where is it going? I don't like. They could do this for six episodes, and it'd be nothing. Like, where's there? There's got to be some hooks. There's got to be some cameos. There's got to be something. I see what you mean.
Yeah, so as of right now, I'm just cautiously optimistic. Again, it's not bad by any means. I just don't know yet, is all. That's it.
Same. But I enjoyed it. And I'm just ready for the next one. Ready for the next
one. Okay.
I'm sorry, guys, if I seem tired today.
Are you?
Oh, God, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because you worked all day.
Yeah. Well, and then freaking Packers kept me up till midnight.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sports, and they won. Man. 37-10, everybody. Everybody, congratulations to Green Bay securing the number one seed of the playoffs this year and getting the first round bye. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I knew that you'd probably ride that today at some point.
Oh, yeah. Had to.
Yep. Of course, but that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Also, shout to Catherine who is trying to talk to me while I'm recording. So, shout out to you. but full disclosure, her Sour Patch Kids are sitting in front of me, and you gave me full permission that I could eat these. Not all of them, she says.
SBK.
There's like four in there.
Oh, good. You can have four.
Whatever. so that's Book of Boba Fett. We'll keep up to date with it and see where it goes from here. Matt, you were the one out of the three of us to catch the newest installment of The Matrix.
And that I heard something got resurrected.
That's the rumor and innuendo.
Okay.
So, yeah. Do you want me to rattle off the facts about it?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Well, so this is The Matrix Resurrection. It stars Keanu Reeves reprising his role as Thomas Anderson, a.k.a. Neo, in the Matrix quadrilogy now. Yes, the fourth one. It is described as a return to a world of two realities, one everyday life, the other what lies behind it, to find out if his reality is a construct. To truly know himself, Mr. Anderson will have to choose to follow the white rabbit once more. So it's directed by one of the directors of the original, Lena Wachowski, and it stars Keanu Reeves, as I said, Carrie Ann Moss, who are the only two from the original movie to play. But then Yahya Abdul-Mateen II also is in this movie as the new Morpheus. Oh, that is – and Jonathan Groff, surprisingly enough, also serious role in this movie, as is Neil Patrick Harris. So just kind of a bit of a wild cast in terms of the two of them compared to Keanu and Carrie Ann. But I gave it a B minus, which is, I believe, mildly higher than what I rated the second and third entries in the franchise, mostly because I feel like this handled a new kind of story in a mostly successful way. It definitely takes place. There was a lot of speculation about when and how this takes place in relation to the first one, since spoiler alert, at the end of the first trilogy, The Matrix has ended, but then it looks like Keanu as Mr. Anderson is back in The Matrix. So I think they handled that better than I saw coming. And it's a lot of commentary on, like, there is a lot of commentary on going back and sort of reviving a franchise that they didn't, or making movies that they didn't really want to make because the studio wanted to make money. It's pretty blatant. They even say it's like, oh, why? Warner Brothers actually even not inserts himself, but is inserted as the force for why something is being made. As you can tell, I'm being very vague. I just, you know, it's more to give specifics, I think, would just make it more confusing. And I don't think the movie is necessarily as confusing as the first. I think it's a little bit better, but obviously if you haven't seen any of the others, I don't know how much there it really is in this one for you. So like I said, it's definitely a good movie. However, it does just lose it a little bit for me because more of it seems to be focused on like callbacks specifically to earlier in the franchise, as well as the meta commentary about just, you know, art being requested to be made to make money in that way. And that's, you know, it was a little bit heavy handed. I feel like there's probably a more clever way to do it. And the action was pretty good. All the performances were pretty good. The new Morpheus, I think, works really well just as like a concept and as a reason for why they look different. Jonathan Groff is surprisingly menacing because he plays the new Agent Smith, who was definitely an iconic role from the first one. But yeah, nothing really too crazy about this. I would recommend it if you enjoyed The Matrix, but don't expect it to be the, you know, best movie out there. It was still definitely a solid, pretty good, as indicated by the B minus. So
would you, a lot of people, I listened to a few podcasts today to and from work, and a lot of people have this on their worst movies of the year list. Would you agree with that?
You'll find out in a little bit, but I wouldn't say it was like, I don't know, maybe my expectations were too low, but, and maybe that's also me. I don't know. I feel like it is more of a movie that doesn't live up to potential expectations than it does actually disappoint as a movie on its own merits, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think, do you remember, was it just on lists or did they have specific things that really didn't work about them that you can remember?
I think a lot of people were kind of, yeah, it was mostly lists. I wish I remember the specifics, but
sure.
A lot of people said, I'm intrigued that you said Jonathan Groff was menacing, because I think a lot of people, I don't think they liked him, although I like Jonathan Groff.
Yeah.
So that is good to hear you say that he was good.
Cause yeah.
I trust your judgment more than random people on the internet.
Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm sort of grading him on a curve, cause like I said, I didn't really recognize him in the role. He's not like in, you know, prosthetics or anything that I shouldn't recognize him. I'm just kind of a dummy at recognizing actors. So when I was just like, oh, this is just some random actor and he's able to be as menacing as he needs to be for the role, that's fine. And then, you know, I thought it was fine.
Cool. Well, that's good. I'll probably catch it at some point when I watch the other two. But yeah, I just couldn't get there. Sure. I mean, I probably could have, but upon doing the run through we did a few weeks back for The Matrix, I said, maybe I'll sit this one out for a minute and kind of let it digest. And then I'll go back to the franchise and watch the others and then watch this one.
Sure.
Is that your takes on The Matrix?
That's all I got, man. I it was an enjoyable way to spend my time, but definitely not must see movie.
Okay. Good deal. So, with that being said, before we move on to our lists that we have, I was able to also catch a flick over the weekend as well, and that was American Underdog. American Ooh. Underdog is a great movie, man. Wow. It's still sitting with me, and I'd love to tell you all about it here. So, American Underdog stars Zachary Levi, guy who plays Shazam, for those of you who don't know off the top of your head. He plays Kurt Warner, a very famous NFL MVP, Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner. And this is the story of him, who went from stocking shelves at a supermarket to becoming an American football hero and star. So, yeah, stars Zachary Levi, Anna Paquin, Dennis Quaid, and then some others. Not many. This isn't a big cast kind of movie. Very low-key in terms of the cast, Zachary Levi being the real big star here, as well as the woman who plays his wife in the movie. She's known for this, I forget what show. I think it was True Blood. Is that right, Catherine? Yeah. She was in the True Blood show. She also played, I didn't realize, looking at her IMDb so I can get the character right, she played Rogue in X-Men movies, which I didn't catch. Yeah, she was in The Last Stand, Days of Future Past, X-Men United, the original X-Men. So she's been around in those movies for a minute, but I just didn't recognize her. Man, this movie was fantastic. I'll give you a sneak peek, and this movie is in my top 10. I loved it from start to finish. It was under 2 hours, which is great. I saw it with my parents and Catherine in the theaters. The acting was pretty amazing. However, I don't want to discredit it, but I don't think it's Oscar-worthy acting. Like, Zachary Levi didn't deliver like the performance of his career here. I don't know anything about Kurt Warner until I watched this movie, so I don't know if he played Kurt Warner well. He didn't look like he was trying to do like mannerisms or anything. I think he was just Zachary Levi in a role playing a football player. And shit, he could have been playing Aaron Rodgers and I would have had no idea. Like, there's no way. Like, he wasn't overly trying to be Kurt Warner. He was just football guy.
My favorite player.
Football guy. The movie is mainly a romance story between him and his wife, who kind of go through a lot of ups and downs. And the movie is more about him trying to balance his dream with also his dream of starting a family and getting married and all of that, which is a really cool aspect you don't really see in sports movies that I really liked. And then another note I made is just, I cried every other scene, man. The movie was very good at tugging on your strings, man. I looked over, my parents were crying in every other scene. I was tearing up all the time. It was a movie that tugged at your heartstrings at the best points. And they really tried to get you to understand, like, no matter who you are and where you come from, you have potential to be a great person. I mean, Kurt Warner's, I guess, adopted son. I don't know if he ever adopts him, but he marries a woman whose kid is blind. They make it seem like any other guy would start dating a girl, find out she has a kid, let alone a blind kid, and run for the fields. And it doesn't faze Kurt at all. He takes the kid in, makes him his own. They're best friends. So the movie explores mainly his family life, but yeah, also his slow progression to getting to be in the NFL and finally getting to see his name on billboards when the Rams' lead quarterback gets sacked or something, and he's injured and he's out for the season, and the owners are like, oh shit, I guess we got to put this rookie in, and he blows them away beyond expectations. The movie was awesome, man. I'd buy it if it was available to buy. A great movie. I texted Tanner, I think, afterwards. And I said, or and if I haven't texted you, I want to say you and your dad should go together to see this movie. You both would absolutely love it. It's a great father-son movie, great sports movie. Catherine and I both agreed after the movie, like, that's A-plus territory, and that's what I gave it. Like, it's
damn,
it's A-plus territory. I absolutely loved American Underdog. I was listening to Lights, Camera, Barstool, and they said it's one of the worst movies of the year. But then listening to their other worst movies of the year, I was like, I don't know if I can trust these guys.
What'd they put?
Oh, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I'd have to go back and relook. But just the movie is fantastic. I don't know how you could hate it, really. It's truly just, it's heartwarming as all get out. That's the highlight there.
Sure.
So with that said, we have two lists to get through. One of them shorter than the other. And I'm actually going to want to do it a little differently. Just again, we're not going to try to rush this, but for the interest of time, for this top five disappointing movies, let's go one by one, the whole list. And then for the top 10, we could do our dramatic reveal of each of our entries. But for the top five, Tanner, I'm just going to ask you to throw on your number five and then work your way to one. And then we can pause and talk if needed, but just rattle through your list of worst movies of the year, in your opinion, the top five worst.
Number five is Halloween Kills.
Honorable mention on mine. Or dishonorable.
Number four, we got Space Jam, A New Legacy. Fuck you, Space Jam. Number three, you say top five worst movies.
Or disappointing. Disappointing works.
I did a disappointing,
I was pretty disappointed in Conjuring 3 for number 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It wasn't that good. Number 2, we got the one and only. What am I going to say? Army of the Dead. Oh, shit. I forgot about Home Sweet Home Alone. Oh, but I knew that was going to suck. But my number 1, the most disappointing movie of the year, is Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Dang.
Wow.
Love to hear that.
I fell asleep. I never fall asleep during superhero movies.
Wow. I'm surprised. I feel like there's, upon listening to my list, you might get mad at some of the ones you forgot.
That's true.
Unless I'm just underestimating how much you hate those movies.
No, I did not like any of them. Well, Conjuring 3, I probably could have put out and put something else in, but. I freaking hated Space Jam. I remember watching it, and I was just like, this has got to end. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Had a little burp explosion there. Shout out to me eating a whole entire bag of Starburst.
Okay, I thought we were going for a bag of donuts here, but... but, yeah, Matt...
Starburst today.
Matt, go ahead. Let's hear your top five worst.
Cool. Taking a quick look, I do not think I have any overlap with Tanner, so this will be interesting.
Oh.
Well, so that's the thing. I took it definitely as disappointing instead of worse. Army of the Dead, like, I didn't really have high expectations. Zack Snyder recently has not done too much for me.
He sucks.
So my number five is Batman the Long Halloween, specifically part 2.
Okay.
It was just that has built-in expectations when it's already basically turning a 3-hour a 4-hour movie into 2 movies, and then having most of the intrigue not really be all that intriguing when you actually reveal it in the second part. My number 4 is Cruella, relatively low on the list because expectations weren't super high for it, but it was just very by the numbers and just like it felt just like looking back on it, I just couldn't really remember any scenes that I thought were really entertaining about it. And for especially recently live action Disney, I feel like they at least give you one showstopper, and that just didn't have that. Number 3 might sort of be my own fault. A few reviews I saw before watching this movie were really high, and then it just came in at a little bit above mediocre for me, and that is I Care a Lot, starring Rosamund Pike. About her,
I completely forgot that movie came out.
I was looking through like all our stuff, and it was just mean. I just didn't like it. And yeah, man, I just couldn't abide by that not being disappointing. Tanner, you might get mad at this one, but my number two is The Tomorrow War starring Chris Pratt.
Oh, that's okay.
My thoughts on the movie, exactly. There were so many ads for this movie. Chris Pratt was supposed to, you know, be the best action hero in this movie, and he's not bringing a lot.
He's not that.
He ain't it. And my number one, Red Notice.
Oh, I knew it.
Like, The Rock has probably made $1 billion from this movie alone, yet he could not be bothered to put in 2 ounces of effort to any scene he was in. Come on, dude. Crack one. You're with Ryan Reynolds. Pretend he's Kevin Hart and have that chemistry with him. But you just bring nothing. Come on. And also, you don't both have to be sipping your proprietary hard liquor in the same scene. So, yeah, that's my list.
That's good. That's a good list. And I love to say that my list also has no overlap with either of you.
Either. Wow.
Because I'm really pissed I forgot about Dune.
More on that later.
Oh, what the hell?
I know. Number five, my number five is my number five solely because of the fact that I've heard so many good things about this movie from so many people, and I'm going to give it a shot. It's coming to Disney Plus in a few weeks, and I'm going to watch it again so I can really figure out if I was in the wrong or not, and that's Free Guy. The movie I literally left, but you know, is it that bad? Is it that bad? I don't know.
I don't think so. Everybody
probably not. Yeah, probably not. So I'm willing to see, you know, was I just tripping? Like what happened? Who hurt me that day? Like what happened? Why do I hate this movie so much? So I'm going to watch it again, and I'll probably just comment on it in a regular episode because it deserves a full review. Maybe we'll all watch it. If it's on Disney Plus for free and it's a slow week, we'll all watch it.
I like that.
I want to watch it. I'm going to watch it.
Anyway.
Yeah, so good stuff. So now number four, same thing. I need to give this another chance because also disappointing / worst. Really disappointing were my applies to 5, 4, and or just 5 and 4. But 4 is Dune for me. I wish I appreciated it like everybody else does, but I for some reason don't. So I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna watch it again and reassess. But as of right now, I just didn't love it. I fell asleep during it. I thought that the movie thought it was more epic than it was. I don't know. The performances were amazing. Brolin, Momoa, Timothy Chalamet, everyone was great, but I just didn't get it. It just didn't come together for me. But
sure.
But it doesn't mean it's one of the worst. Now these top three are bad movies. Certified trash, dumpster fire of movies. Tanner can attest. Number three, Paranormal Activity, Next of Kin.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Horrible movie.
That was the stupidest movie I've ever seen in my life.
An absolute ripoff of the original franchise that was decent to great. Just non-memorable, not even filmed the same style. It'd be like taking, I don't know, a Jurassic Park movie and going, wait, let's take the dinosaurs out and just do giant butterflies instead.
Jurassic Butterfly.
Yeah, it just, they rewrote everything for no reason. If you're going to do another Paranormal Activity, then just keep it on the same formula. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Number two, a movie that we saw very early on in the year, back before Tanner, back in the early days of Matt, it was when Mitch was around, Tom and Jerry.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a stinker, but I wasn't disappointed because there was just, from the first trailer, there was no way that would be good.
I remember having so much fun trashing this episode when we recorded about it initially. And Mitch did too. I remember Mitch absolutely body bagged the movie too. But yeah, just an absolute dumpster fire. I mean, doesn't capture the magic of Tom and Jerry. Just, God, like, there are no words to describe how bad this movie was.
Bad.
But I do have a few words to describe my least favorite slash worst slash most disappointing movie of 2021 is Home Sweet Home Alone.
Okay.
That's the movie was absolutely garbage. It spat in the face of Macaulay Culkin and those original filmmakers. Disney took a franchise that was just fine and shat all over it. In my opinion, I'm so afraid for Cheaper by the Dozen, which is a movie that they are also rebooting from a beloved franchise with Steve Martin, and they are going to hopefully not shit on that movie franchise too. I really hope it's not the case, but man, dude, Home Alone, Home Sweet Home Alone, like the this poster I'm looking at right now, the tagline for the movie says holiday classics were meant to be broken. Do they know how bad it was?
Yeah, they're saying that this movie broke the classic.
Oh, God, man. Yeah. Just a bad movie, man. Even for free, I hate myself that I watched it.
Me too.
I can't believe this wasn't in your top five, Tanner, because you hated this movie just as much as I did.
Yeah, no, I don't know what I was thinking there.
Well, actually, wait. No, you hated it a little less than I did.
I did.
I gave it like a D minus, and you gave it like a C minus. Like, you thought it was somewhat enjoyable. I just hated every moment of my life watching this movie. This is going to sound horrible, but I'm going to say it. I've been to a few funerals in my day. All of them were more entertaining than Home Sweet Home Alone.
That's so unnecessary to say.
Yeah, that's not true. But, you know, I don't think it could get much worse than this. I hope 2022 doesn't have anything bad here. This bad. It will, but I hope it doesn't. Home Sweet Home Alone. God, the disrespect.
Didn't put Clifford on there.
The disrespect. Because Clifford wasn't that bad compared to Home Sweet Home Alone. Clifford was somewhat enjoyable.
Dude, those Kenan joints going up against each other.
Thompson is...
That was the same weekend.
It was the same weekend. Kenan Thompson is getting his bag, and I love that for him. But other than that, this movie was dog shit. And I hope that none of y'all... And I'm very happy to report that most of the worst of lists I've seen, this movie is on it. So I am justified. I am happy. That's our worst movies of the year, or disappointing, however you want to look at it.
So can I do a quick interlude here?
Yeah.
There has never been, so you know on IMDb how there's just like a quick like known for the person?
Yeah.
There has never been a more inconsistent one in quality than Kenan Thompson. Known for SNL, like, you know, A1 peak, great. Number two, Snakes on a Plane. Number three, The Good Burger Movie.
Oh, Jesus.
And then number four, Kenan and Kel, which middle of the road. So just full spectrum there for our man Kenan.
You know, I love Kenan Thompson. And honestly, he's the best part of both of those movies.
He is.
Clifford and Home Alone.
I thought you were going to say Snakes on a Plane and Good Burger.
No. I don't even remember him being in either of those, which, you know, whatever. You know, funny enough, Matt, with you having Cruella on there, I was going to put Cruella in my favorites, but then I tried thinking about all of my favorites and I was like, I don't remember anything about Cruella.
Yeah. Yeah.
That speaks for itself. Okay. Top 10 favorite movies of the year. This is the fun one.
Shit.
This is the one where we get to talk lightly about everything that we loved about the year. Far less negative. I hate being negative, that negative about movies, but man, some of them are just stinkers. And none of them will ever come close to any of the movies that we're about to name. So
you guys want to predict what my number one is?
Yeah. Before we start? No. Let it be a surprise. Yeah, it's okay. Is it a surprise?
Yeah.
Okay. No, what the fuck? I feel like it's not. But
hell no.
My number 10, and then we'll go to Tanner and then Matt, and we'll shuffle around with quick little summaries after each if needed. Now, number 10 originally did not include this. Well, first, can I say I have a couple honorable mentions. This was a tough list to make. I shuffled it several times. Honorable mentions being The Harder They Fall, Tick, Tick, Boom, Eternals, The Guilty, Luca, I Care a Lot. No, I'm just kidding. Because that I've never heard a more descriptive and accurate review to the movie that it's, quote, just plain mean. Because that's 100% what it is. And then Black Widow, kind of. That's not really. I mean, it was fine, but, you know, it didn't stand out. But number 10, No Time to Die. The finale of the Daniel Craig, James Bond flicks. Great conclusion to his time as Bond. Great time in the movie theater. I loved the movie. And that's my number 10. Tanner, what you got at number 10?
King Richard.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed that movie. I thought it was A1 steaks of us.
Nice. I don't like that.
I don't either.
I just was watching. As soon as I said it, I just watched you, Matt, and I saw you just go.
That ain't it.
That analogy wasn't it.
A1 steak sauce. It's a good movie. It's my number 10. Am I going to say that for every single one?
Yeah.
It's a good movie. Well, I enjoyed it.
Cool.
Very much.
All right. Cool. My number 10 is not much to say about this one since we just talked about it a lot last week. Don't Look Up. I didn't know if it cracked the top 10, but just had to do it.
Wow. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Wow. Good stuff.
Wow.
Number 9 for me, a flick that I caught alone, was Nightmare Alley.
Damn, I wish I would have watched that.
A great, great flick. Bradley Cooper's best acting of his career, as well as great performances. Willem Dafoe is in there. A bunch of other awesome actors and actresses, all of which whose names are escaping me. Cate Blanchett. Great, great stuff here, man. Nightmare Alley. Tanner, number 9.
Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, wow.
That's high.
Oh, man. Yeah. I loved it. And Andrew Garfield was freaking, come on, that was awesome. You know, he learned all that stuff in like a year.
Wow.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. Taught himself piano and singing.
Plus him and Spider-Man just kind of upped everything he's ever been in. I'm going to be honest. In my head, he's just 10 times better now.
People forget, Andrew Garfield's sneaky one of the better actors of our time right now.
Yeah, he's great.
No, he's done a lot of like serious roles and stuff. Dude's got chops.
Yeah.
Dude's got chops.
That's better than saying A1 steak sauce.
Yeah, it sure is.
Anyway, my number 9 is Black Widow. Finally, about time she got her own movie, and I really liked it. And I think as Yelena continues to be just the best part of everything she's in, it's only gonna, you know, maybe rise higher on the list. So yeah, man, nothing more else to say about that. We did an episode and a half about that one, it feels like. So
yeah,
Logan, let's hear your number 8. You won't believe what mine is.
Your number 8?
Yeah.
You won't believe what mine is. A movie that feels like it came out an eternity ago, but it was only like 4 months ago. The Suicide Squad. Wow. Almost was an honorable mention. Almost was Tick, Tick, Boom. But I did enjoy The Suicide Squad a whole lot. Loved King Shark. Loved what James Gunn did here. He took a movie that was made 5 years ago that was shitty, said, screw it, I'm going to remake it and make it way better than the first one, IMO. And and I loved it, man. I loved The Suicide Squad. I'm excited for Peacemaker that comes out in a few weeks on HBO Max. I'm excited for the future of that. I'm all in on James Gunn and Suicide Squad. I had a lot of fun with it. Tanner?
Number 8, I got Don't Look Up.
Wow.
Yeah, I
like both that. Of you guys with Don't Look Up.
Yeah, man.
Loved it. Leo, awesome as always. Jennifer Lawrence was great too. Just a rockin' flick. How was that one?
Rockin' yeah. flick. That's, rockin that, that's flick. Better. Is that between better? Saying yeah. it's a good movie and steak sauce.
It's yeah. A1 steak sauce. God, what the cool. fuck?
All right. My much hyped number 8 on my list, Dune.
Hey, ho,
hey. Yeah.
I wish Dune was on my list so bad.
I know, and it can be. Here's the thing. You can just do it. You just like the movie. It's not that hard.
Not yeah, much. Apparently, according to you and everybody else, that is, how can you hate Dune?
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it. It definitely has like some issues, but I think it was better than I expected. A lot of the trailer kind of led me to believe that it was going to be a train wreck, and it wasn't. So I'm not giving it merit just for that, but I really enjoyed watching it, and I'm actively looking forward to Dune 2, or Tune as it's going to be called.
I love that. That's the best.
That was good.
Let me guess, and is the conclusion of the Dune trilogy just going to be called Throne?
Game of Throne.
Oh, wow. That's huge. Yeah.
What's your number 7?
Number 7 for me is American Underdog.
Okay.
Wow. All
right. I said it this episode. I don't need to say it again. Tanner. Well, before I say that, Sneaky didn't know if this movie was going to make the top 10. But you know what? It just tugged at my heartstrings. I can't wait to own it when it comes out. That's it. I loved the movie. Tanner, number 7.
Number 7, I have The Harder They Fall.
Wow.
I love cowboy shit.
Tanner's just his one-liner reviews are just not great.
I'm stupid today. I'm just tired. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on in the brain.
You gotta get these reps out there on Twitter. That's the real reason. If you want to do a one-liner, you just gotta get some cuts in on the Twitter sphere.
Yep.
But
anybody catch me spitting into a tin jar after I said that?
No, thank you for running that back, though. We all appreciated that.
Yeah, that was great.
My number 7 is The Eternals, man. Just a great posse cut. I think one of the more unique and memorable, like, new heroes introductions that we've gotten. I think it tells their origin story in a way that Marvel hadn't really told a story yet. So yeah, I really dug it. What's rounding out the last of your bottom top 5, Logan? I said that the worst way possible.
For some reason I lost it, but here it is. My number 6 is a movie that I praised at the beginning of the year. I think it came out way back in like February. And that's The Mitchells versus the Machines.
Oh, that's a great movie.
The animated family flick that came out on Netflix, made by Lord and Miller, the guys who did the Lego movie. Mm-hmm. It just has been a movie that's sat with me all year. And I keep thinking about it. And I go, that's maybe one of the better family animated movies with, you know, different animation style, and I keep on thinking back to it, and I, you know what, this movie rocks. I'm gonna put it in the top 10. Ever since I watched it, I was like, I think it was early on, like maybe February or March, and I was like, that's gonna make the top 10. Like, it was just kick ass. Like, again, like Harder They Fall, Eternals, Tick Tick Boom, Mitchells versus the Machines was an amazing time, and I watched it when I was visiting Catherine's parents in a hotel room on a hotel TV, and I still loved every second of it.
Dang.
And that rounds out my lower half. Tanner, what you got at your 6?
Can't wait for this one-line review.
I'm trying to think of one. The Jungle Cruise. I loved it. The Rock is – yeah, I got nothing. But The Rock is good. But yeah,
he doesn't bring his Red Notice game.
No, The Rock actually decides does his thing.
The Rock it's funny. I actually watched it again the other day. My roommates were watching it, and it was still just as funny. The opening scene with him screwing with the his passengers. Yeah. Still funny.
Would you say in that role that he not only has drive, but he also has power?
You could also say that he was pretty hungry and he devoured.
Yeah.
He
put in the work for that movie and the hours.
And he something took what that... was his. what's his motherfucking name?
Rock.
Rock.
Yay.
Thank you, Taramana.
Yeah.
To bed.
Yeah. Thank you, Taramana.
Who the hell is Taramana?
That's his tequila.
But he drinks in Red Notice.
Great callback.
Yes.
And the best delivery of that line, that he drinks in Red Notice.
I put in 10 times the emotion into that saying as he did any line in Red Notice. Ooh. So anyway, my speaking of a movie full of emotion, my number six is Tick, Tick, Boom. We talked about it a lot again, just didn't, the low key musical guy of the pod has to be repping this one. And yeah, man, it just hit the spot. It was good. I really enjoyed pretty much every part of it that it offered. So not much more to say beyond that.
Yeah. Good stuff. Rounding out the top five for me, Tanner talked about it earlier. I won't hit too much on it, but King Richard.
Oh yeah.
Will Smith probably did the best acting of his career here. I think, plus again, similar to Kurt Warner. I didn't know anything. I mean, I knew of Serena Williams. I didn't even know Venus Williams was a thing. I didn't know she existed.
Awesome,
I had, cause for the longest time I'd only heard of Serena Williams.
Sure.
And this movie taught me all about that. And when I can leave a movie intrigued and wanting to learn more, like, I'm all in, and the movie was awesome. Will Smith was amazing, and I really hope he gets the recognition that he deserves come award season. Tanner.
Or wait, is Logan low-key the sports guy on the pod putting two sports movies in his top 10 list? Tanner, you better watch your head.
Yeah. Sheesh. Sheesh.
Sheesh.
Well, never mind.
No more one-liners. Tell me your damn favorites.
Name every sport. I'll wait.
I thought I was going to say something like that. All right. These next five are movies that I enjoyed the most out of 2021. So I'll start with number five. And it was, I almost said Jason Bourne. It was No Time to Die. And you could say while watching this movie, you had no time to die. Oh, God. That was even fucking worse than the first one.
Yep. It's better than A1 steak sauce.
Sure.
I still think A1 steak sauce was A1 steak sauce.
It's just a bad take.
Yeah, but I love No Time to Die. That shit was awesome. It was long and kept me intrigued most of the time. Well, 90% of the time. There's just a couple of dead air, but it was just action-packed. I've never seen a James Bond movie, and it was just so cool. He is so cool. But he's not better than Jason Bourne. Sorry.
Gotta end it with a hot take there, I see.
Yeah. I do, yeah.
Anyway, my number five is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, man. That movie's a hefty slapper, and I really enjoyed it. The star of it is completely not making himself known in my mind.
Simu Liu.
I said what I said. I don't apologize.
That was good.
But yeah, Simu Liu is an absolute stud, and I can't wait to see what he does. And I liked working in that Wong in there. I feel like those are my favorite, where it's a cameo that is cool to see but doesn't impact the whole plot, doesn't hinge on it. So I just look forward to a ton of that moving forward in phase four. So I'm very got me very excited that they're doing exactly what I want them to. So, Logan, your top four. Let's hear one of them. Hopefully number four.
It is number four. rest assured, Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Damn, yeah.
These top five movies were the ones, kind of like how Tanner said, they're obviously, I mean, they're at the top of our list. They're obviously our favorite, but the ones that I had the most fun with and the most lasting effect with, King Richard, obviously at five, and then Ghostbusters. I mean, if you want to talk about a double hitter for Sony this year for Ghostbusters and then Spider-Man, I mean, just nostalgia, nostalgia, nostalgia for Ghostbusters
Big
Afterlife.
Nostalgia boners.
Yeah. Introduced. I mean, yeah. Introduced new characters while paying homage to the original Ghostbusters with the son of the director of the original. Just an absolute fun movie, man. My mom actually took my brother and sister and dad, and it was her second viewing. And I said, does it hold up from the first one? She said, even better the second time. And I am so happy to hear that because we had a really fun movie. We had essentially like a Spider-Man theater. You know, the audience was cheering and clapping and laughing, and it was just a ton of fun. And yeah, Ghostbusters was number four. I had an absolute blast. I can't wait to buy it when it comes out.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait for you to see it too.
I got the one of the, never mind. All right, number four is the Suicide Squad.
Oh, wow.
I loved it. Yeah, I'm very pumped to see what they're going to do with Peacemaker.
Okay.
And they absolutely blew the first one out of the water.
Yeah.
100%. And it made my top four, so.
Wow. Matt.
Cool. I believe, Tanner and Logan have mentioned this one. And that's The Harder They Fall. Just loved it. It's like we talked about with, you know, some other movies. Just like Logan's thing with Mitchell versus the Machines. Like, saw it and I liked it, but then just as it's like sat with me, I just feel like I just like keep thinking of different parts of it that were just dope, and yeah, can't really yeah,
yep,
just tight.
Top three territory. Matt touched on it. Also, sneaky, assuming Spider-Man's on your list, sneaky, all of the MCU movies made it on your top 10 list.
We'll see,
that
though.
All did for me.
Oh, will we?
Oh, my God. I'll leave.
Do it. Take your donuts with you.
Take your donuts and your bad takes. Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings, like Matt said, they just, the star and heart of the movie is Simu Liu. Upon everybody who tells me, and to which I have a surprising amount of friends who haven't seen this movie yet, I say, listen, they're like, why should I rush to see this? Why should I spend the time to watch this? Exactly what Matt and I said. Simu Liu makes this movie what it is. His chemistry with Awkwafina, the relationship with his dad as the villain, like just an absolute banger of a movie, amazing special effects, a ton of fun of a comic book movie, something we haven't seen yet. A breath of fresh air in Shang-Chi. Can't wait to see where he falls into place in the future MCU. I can't wait to see more Shang-Chi. So that's number three. Tanner, what you got?
I've got A Quiet Place Part Two.
Wow, I forgot about that one.
I had a feeling you would, because this one was, I mean, it came out really early in the year.
Yeah, it was like January or February. It was real early.
It actually was May, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We've seen a ton of shit this year.
Yeah, we have. That seems so long ago. But, I mean, shit, I didn't expect a whole lot, because like the first one was so good. And, you know, typically when the main character dies in the first one and then they make a second one, you're like, But Cillian Murphy was awesome, and it was just it held up. So
nice.
That was number three.
All right,
there you go.
So my number three is probably where I sound like the most hoity-toity critic I ever will, and that's because my number three is The Power of the Dog.
Wow!
Yeah, wow. It's just thinking back on the movie, like, that was just a really focused thing, just a really focused project on just a few actors, and it set out to like do a very specific set of things, and I feel like it executed really well. And really sort of trusted its audience to do, to connect a lot of the dots. And I think that that's something not always done in a lot of the movies we watch for this show. So it was kind of like a breath of fresh air for me in that regard. So yeah, that was my number three.
Wow. My runner up for the year is a movie Tanner mentioned earlier, and it's got the same thing in common that Mitchell versus Machine has. Same thing with Shang-Chi, Ghostbusters, King Richard. I've thought about the movie all year, and I keep thinking back to it and think, wow, what an amazing time Jungle Cruise was.
Wow, number two.
I loved awesome. Jungle Cruise, man. And everybody, like Griffin, my brother, not a huge movie guy, saw Jungle Cruise, I think, three times in the theaters.
What?
It's just not necessary.
Why?
He loved it. We 20 minutes together, into the movie, he turned to me and said, "This is amazing."
It was. And amazing. I was like, "God,
wow, that was a good experience." I know. Just a crazy experience of a movie. I loved The Rock in this. He's got some chops in this movie versus others. It just felt like he actually, Red Notice felt kind of a very phoned in performance, whereas this movie, you could tell that his chemistry with Emily Blunt was actually there and that he actually had a lot of fun with it. I hope this becomes Disney's next Pirates of the Caribbean. I want to see more of this shit. I thought it was awesome, man. It's on Disney Plus, but I'm still probably going to buy it. Like, it's, I loved Jungle Cruise so much. I remember Catherine probably got annoyed like 3 weeks after we saw it. I was like, man, Jungle Cruise was just so dope. Like, just so cool. So yeah, that's my runner up. Tanner.
My runner up is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Wow.
I love that movie. I saw it again also a couple weeks ago. Still so good. Holy shit, that action. I just can't wait to see more of him fucking going nuts on the screen, you know? This fighting style was so good. What in the fuck?
Oh, my. You're all right.
Yeah, it's just my sister's stupid as hell. She just sends a text. It's called, it says, "It's a cow farm. There's going to be cows outside." That's it.
What?
That's it. Okay? That's the text.
I don't know.
We'll That's see. It. That's the text.
That's it. That's all there was. That's all she wrote.
Cool. My number two is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's it.
I'm trying to think so hard about what number one could be.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited. Blanking.
That's why I'm not saying anything about this, just to get to our Matrix? Number ones faster.
No, it's not the Matrix.
I'm kidding. That's,
I know. I feel like it's not. I know what it is.
You probably do.
But, wow, okay. You enjoyed it quite a bit. If it's no, actually, yeah, I don't know what this is. Okay, I'm very excited. Tanner. Oh, wait, it's me.
Yeah.
But we have the same movie, Spider-Man No Way Home. Loved it. Great theater experience. We've talked about the movie enough. I don't want to talk about it more.
I got one thing to say, though.
Huh?
I'm still getting on YouTube and watching the reveals and the audience reactions and all the clips and all that stuff. I'm still doing it, and I'm still getting the same emotional reaction to it.
Yep. Anyway, I loved it.
I love it.
However, sneaky rumors here before we go to Matt's number one.
Matt's so excited.
A lot of people are saying that this Morbius delay has nothing to do with COVID, and Sony's just using COVID as a cover up to film Spider-Man cameos, which maybe Make not. I don't think they need that much time to film a quick 5-minute scene and edit it together. I don't think they need 4 months, but
no.
Just something to think about. Matt.
4 months?
All right, call your shot, Logan.
I don't know.
Put it to wax right now.
I was going to say King Richard, but you didn't watch it a long time as us, so Man, I don't know.
It was released on Netflix very early in the year.
Oh shit, I don't know.
It is not of a. It is of a genre that is not represented on either any one of our lists.
Is it an anime flick?
It is not an anime movie. It is a movie that takes place in the real physical world.
I have no idea.
My number one is Seaspiracy.
Oh no my way. God.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow, mic drop.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you know what's funny about that? It's in the car today. I was like, I can see Matt putting Seaspiracy somewhere on his list.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've pretty much stopped eating fish because of it. And that's why it's my number one.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's amazing. If
a movie has literally changed the way I live my life, and it was very entertaining, like, I mean, entertaining, informative, like not, yeah, all of that, I have no choice but to stand.
That's honestly, wow.
Nobody
that's
saw cool. a documentary making Matt's number one.
Just taking the top spot.
Wow. And taking
that was really good. I remember being equally as disturbed mm-hmm. as now. Have you stopped eating seafood or fish or just fish as it is?
Pretty much both.
Wow. Yeah. I was never a big seafood guy. So if you told me tomorrow I can't eat it, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, like when it is my, like when I am in the power to do so, but if like if our family is going to a seafood restaurant, I will definitely prefer non-seafood options at that place. But if they just look crappy, then, you know, I'll get what's there. So I guess I haven't fully done it. It's just more definitely a preference and like a dietary restriction.
Sure. You
know? Yeah. Wow.
So let's say that's we're awesome. Out to dinner and I didn't know this about you. We're at Red Lobster and you ordered like the burger on the menu versus like
chicken fingers
versus
my tennies off
the salmon. Hell yeah. Like what I'm sure you've gotten somebody that's asked you like, why no fish or why this, what's your response?
I typically like, I mean, it obviously depends on the person. If it's more of like a casual acquaintance, they'll just be like, oh, I just didn't like, this just sounded better to me today. Obviously, like, you know,
yeah,
that can be the truth. And, you know, it does sound better because I know what went into getting whatever fish onto my plate, potentially. So, but if it is someone, it's like, oh, I watched like a documentary, Seaspiracy, that showed me that. There's not too many like sustainable ways to like consume fish. So this is just something I try to do, when possible.
Wow. That's amazing. I had no,
yeah, I had no
expectation about that. You can't put it any better than if a movie has made me do something different with my life, then that constitutes as like, yeah, that's the best movie I've seen in a long time. Maybe not just this year, just kind of overall and for a long time.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good stuff, man. I love these episodes. I love doing end of the year shit. It's always so much more fun to reflect. And we're not done. We've got next week, we're doing our top 10 favorite TV series, seasons, miniseries. Anything that falls into the series category is up for grabs here. I think Tanner asked the question. He said, hey, I watched The Sopranos this year.
Like I was going to ask that same question. Newly watched by us in 2021.
I have always gone about it new to the world in 2021. But if you are grasping for straws and thought like I didn't watch that much this year, you are fully welcome to throw something else in there.
As long as we get that qualifier that's possible before we do our list.
Tanner, if you want to put Sopranos at number one, you go on ahead. But because I know that's where it would land.
Do not forget about it.
Yeah, for real.
Oh, I won't.
Remember about it, if you will.
Do the exact opposite. and then we're going to do our top 10 most anticipated movies of the year. That should be a fun list, too. I think there's going to be a lot of variety because I looked at an IGN article yesterday of like 58 movies you need to be excited about for this year. And I was like, holy crap, dude. There's a ton of stuff coming out this year. So it's going to be real tough. Just like making this top 10 was tough. I mean, like all those honorable, I'm never an honorable mention guy, But
you're
like,
not, you're not. No,
I had to make mention of those movies. Like, they're all very good, and it was a great year for movies. But can't wait to see what this year does.
Can't wait to look back on the TV and look ahead at the movies next week.
Again, you're right. Okay, guys. Well, that's that was this episode.
Well put.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well put. What are the odds that a documentary takes the number one slot for your 2022?
Dude, event assembled, making of, coming into that number one spot. We love all of those.
Yeah, they just, absolutely.
They get better and better. Just so worth watching.
They're just.
I honestly love how we stopped watching them and stopped reviewing them. Like, it's freaking funny. We have like four chances.
Not missing much by missing those.
No.
But guys, tell a friend, rate and review on Apple and Spotify, and make sure you're subscribed on Apple and Spotify. And that's it. That's all we ask for you. We're happy to be here. It's the new year. New year, same bingers, like Matt said, same boys. We'll see you on Thursday for the run through for the award-winning SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
Let's go.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
See ya. Say hey, where you at?